Can I just add my welcome to those visiting with us this morning to what Lana's already said? It's good to have you with us. Our holiday services are shorter and they're more interactive. And what we say and what we do, we want to do in such a way that people of different ages can interact and understand and be a part of it. If you're a little person here this morning and you'd like to do some colouring in or some word find, as I'm speaking, there are sheets down at the back you can grab and work down there or bring them back to mum and dad or grandparents and work alongside them. This morning, as we work through the Gospel of Mark, we get to my favourite parable in the whole Bible. And the scriptures say about this parable, the parable of the sower and the seeds, that if you understand this parable, you'll understand the others as well. They're an absolute key. I've had people study the pearl of great price and get it so wrong because they haven't read this parable. This parable is a key to so much that we do and saying what we understand of the Lord's parables. As we look at this parable, we're going to see Jesus teach us that in the world, as seed is thrown, as the message of God is spoken about, there are four different types of soil. And those four different types of soil reflect four different types of people or four different types of heart. And it's really clear from this parable that this parable is about the church sowing seeds in the world wherever we go. And we need to take it that way. It's about evangelism. But also I want you to think about this. For us to be Christians, we were at one point good soil, and we trust that every day we're teachable and we're humble. But the reality is there are seasons in our life when we can be like the hard road. Hear the message and it bounces right off. There are times where we can be like those that worry too much about money and finance and the future, and we miss the opportunity to hear God's voice and obey. It can be that we too can live a crowded life and miss out on what God wants. So it's a parable about the church sowing seeds in the world. It's a parable about evangelism. But as we look at it and study it in its context this morning, be aware that God wants us every day to be good soil. It's possible for Christians to have seasons in their life where we're not teachable, we're not responding to the word of God in the same way. We want to be good soil as people 24/7. The story is about spreading God's message. It's about evangelism. It's about remaining teachable and open to God's word long term. I want you to picture Jesus on the shores of Lake Galilee, and thousands of people are coming to hear him speak. And he climbs into a little boat and he goes a little bit out from the shore. Now, was that because of the crowd? Or was it because water reflects sound, as you found often in the Whangarei Harbour? You know, it's a great natural bouncer, amplifier of sound. So, but for whatever reason, he got in a boat, he went a little bit out from the shore. The crowds are pressed all around the shoreside, ready for him to speak. And he told them this story. A farmer went out to scatter seed in the field. While the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the road and was eaten by birds. Other seed fell on thin, rocky ground and quickly started growing because the soil wasn't very deep. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and dried up because they did not have enough roots. Some other seeds fell where the thorn bushes grew up and choked out the plants, so they did not produce any grain. But a few seeds did fall on good ground, where the plants grew up and produced 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as what was scattered. Jesus told them, if you don't understand this story, you won't understand the others as well. What the farmer is spreading is really the message about the kingdom. The seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the message, but Satan comes and snatches it away. The seeds that fell on the rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it right away. But they don't have any roots, and they don't last very long. As soon as life gets hard or the message gets them in trouble, they give up. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also like people who hear the message, but they start worrying about the needs of this life. They're fooled by the desire to get rich or to have all kinds of other things, and so the message is choked out, and they never produce anything. The seeds that fell on the good ground are the people who hear and welcome the message. They produce 30 or 60 or 100 times as much as what was planted. And just a couple of key words to explain for you, a key to interpreting this parable. The farmer in the passage is the church. So the farmer who's sowing seeds is the Elam Church, the Baptist Church, the Apostolic Church, the C3 Church. It's the church. And so when he talks about a farmer sows seeds, he's talking about Christians sowing seeds wherever they go. Pack and Save, Woolworths, the golf course, the fishing boats, wherever they're going, the farmer, us Christians, across the kingdom are sowing seeds. Secondly, the seed is God's message. Now, in its purest form, it's speaking about the message of the word, of the Bible. But in Scripture, the message speaks about every time we speak words of faith, we give our testimony, we speak prophetically, we talk about the goodness of God, we point and say something about to the goodness of God and about the goodness of God. That's seed being sown by us, the farmers. The soils are the four different types of hearts that people might have. First of all, they're the hard hearts. Verse 4 speaks about the hard hearts, and verse 15 explains it. People who hear about God but don't care, couldn't care less about it. When you mention the seed, you throw the seed to somebody with a hard heart, they mock you, they ignore it, they make a joke, they're just not interested. Hard-hearted people. Like a hard road, the seeds fall on it, but nothing germinates, nothing happens. It's snatched away quickly by the birds. Secondly, there are the shallow hearts. Verses 5 and 6 speak about this, and 16 and 17 explain it. These people hear about the message of God, but it's not taken in deeply. It's not worked through. It's not considered. It's not reflected on. It's not reasoned through. There's no apologetics. There's no thinking that goes on with that. And so they say, yes, I hear the word, the gospel about Jesus. God died for me. He loves me. Fantastic, I believe. And it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't grow deep. And so when someone mocks them or teases them for going to church, or when they pray a prayer and the prayer doesn't get answered, they go, oh, forget it. I did believe once, you know, but I'm not so sure anymore. Now I doubt. I'm walking away. Shallow people. There are people with hard hearts, people with shallow hearts. There are people with crowded hearts. Verse 7 talks about the crowded heart. Verse 18 and 19 explain it. These are people that are so concerned with finance. Now, they might be rich or they might be poor. But these are the people who are saying, how can I pay the bills? What can I do about this? How can I get the next thing? And it's as if finance or having stuff is going to make them happy. And they crowd their lives with aiming for possessions or getting more money. And that's the focus of their life, and they're so focused on it. Even though they hear the seed, they hear the message, they're just so busy focused on things of the world and getting stuff and dealing with financial issues, and rich or poor makes no difference. There's no fruit. There's no harvest. The seed amounts to nothing. And then there are the fourth group of people, the group of people with the good hearts. Verse 8 speaks about them. Verse 20 explains it. These are people who hear about how good God is. And they're not full of pride. They're not unteachable. They go, you know what? I am a sinner. My life is polluted. I do need help. And they hear the message about God. And it's not about us working hard, but it's about the goodness of God. And how gracious he's been through Jesus. They hear the message and they take it in. And they study the history and they reason it through and they think it through. And where the sun's shining, or whether it's a really tough season in life, they go, look, I know who I believed in. I've experienced them. The facts add up. And no matter what the season is, these people hang on to the word of God. They remain humble. They remain teachable. And they produce a harvest. Now, one commentary said that in those days, if you were scattering seed in a farm, a normal return was 1 for 8. So if you had 8 kgs of corn, and you spread 1 kg of corn and you spread it in the field and raked it in or ploughed it in, and you got 8 kgs of corn return, that was a good return. That was the average return. 1 kg seed, 8 kg food coming back. But Jesus is saying, people with good hearts, humble people, teachable people, not 8 kgs, but 1 kg in, 30 kgs back, or 60 kgs back, or 100 kgs back. There was nothing known in the world at that time where a farmer would have that kind of a harvest. Supernatural. And what caused the harvest? It's humble, teachable people. It's people that responded to the word of God and took it in deeply and remained humble and teachable. When they live with this attitude, what God can do with a humble, teachable person is like a farmer who scatters 1 kg of seed. Instead of getting 8 back, he gets 100 kgs back. What's the quality? It's the attitude of the heart. So how many degrees a person has, or how quick they are on their feet with jokes, how smart they are, or how great their knowledge is, it's an attitude of the heart. If there's the attitude of the heart, it is good soil. God can use the few words we scatter to reap a huge harvest, to make a huge impact for his kingdom. Even Christians can have hard hearts at times. And so I think about this passage and think, Lord, keep me teachable. Keep me humble. Sometimes when God says to us, look, I want you to forgive that person, do it now. I want you to go and show grace to this person who's been mean and nasty, do it now. Sometimes we can have hard hearts. Sometimes we can struggle. When God challenges us to do an act of generosity, there are times we too can struggle with that. But God wants us to remain a deep and open and humble and teachable. This parable is all about sowing seed, and seeds are the spoken word. So words that we say. Romans 10 verse 17 says, no one can have faith without hearing the message about Christ. I remember as a young Christian back in the 80s and the 90s, how there was a real movement within the Western church to try and witness without words. And sometimes in the theological colleges, they'd quote Francis of Assisi, and they would say something like this, look, witness it at all times, and if necessary, use words. And it was crazy. It was so unbiblical. And there was a whole movement within Christianity at that time in the 80s and 90s that said, let's move away from going out and preaching and running children's crusades and busing kids into church and those things that God was blessing. Let's move away from that, and let's just do a whole lot of community ministries without overt evangelism attached. Let's just love Uncle Bob and mow the lawn for Sarah down the road and bake cakes for this mum and help that person with their children, but don't talk about Jesus. And if we just love on people without words, somehow they'll get it. And people will turn to Christ and say, I want to be like you, I want to be a Christian. And it didn't happen. It was about that time in our history in New Zealand where the church had been growing steadily for many, many years, where it plateaued and by the year 2000 started to decline. What happened? People bought into the lie that you can witness without words. You can extend the kingdom without sowing seeds. It's an absolute lie. The Bible says faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. The Bible doesn't teach that seeds aren't important. In fact, the Bible says the priority is always words. It's you speak the word, and your word will go out and it will achieve that which it sent. You speak the word, and then there's an action, there's a response, and there's things that happen that come alive after the spoken word is spoken. So Christian culture said, don't talk. It's all about actions. The Bible never taught that. The Bible said you speak first. The sooner you speak about Jesus, about the church, about God, for someone you meet, a contractor, someone in the shop, a friend, a relative, the easier it's going to be to speak about Jesus going forward. The longer you leave speaking about God, sowing a seed, the more awkward and uncomfortable and tricky it's going to be going forward. It's important to sow seeds early. Sow seeds early. In the first 2 minutes of a conversation with someone, try and say something without Christian jargon, without words like sin and redemption. I use the word pollution way more than I'd use sin. Without sin, redemption, salvation, bless or grace. Words like that mean a heap to us. They mean nothing to the unsaved person. So try and sow a seed. Mention God. Say something that gives glory to God and points to the goodness of God early on in your conversations. I want you to turn to the person beside you and for 30 seconds, just answer this question. Who should we talk about the things of the kingdom? Who should we offer seeds to? Just find someone in twos and threes. Who should we talk to? Who should we be sharing the kingdom with? 30 seconds. Who should we sow seeds with? Everybody. Sometimes you'll think, look, just the open person. How do you know if they're open or not? I've been utterly shocked at times when people have become Christians when I thought they were not responsive or open to God at all. There's only one person that knows if someone's heart is good soil. It's him. The farmer isn't told to go and just sow seeds in the good patches. The farmer asks the church at large, the kingdom, is told to sow seeds everywhere to everyone. Some of the seed will fall on hard ground. Some of that's not our concern. Some of it will fall on where there's thorn bushes. You know, some will fall in crowded areas. But our responsibility is not to try and read the heart of a person. It's up to God. Our responsibility is to sow seed to everyone wherever we go. I'll never forget Juliet's encouragement to me back in Ratahee. We had a neighbour who used to keep us up really late Saturday night partying and getting drunk and being quite abusive to his partner. And over a period of a couple of months of really overtly talking about Jesus to this neighbour, I took him to a Bill Sobritsky meeting, and there was a miracle. God absolutely touched him physically as a healing miracle. He responded to God. I followed him up every two or three days for the next about 5 or 6 weeks. Then he backslid. I remember coming home and going, oh, so disappointed. I am so disappointed. You know, I love this guy. Threw everything into discipling him. And Juliet turned to me that day and said, remember the parable of the sower. It's not your responsibility to pick the heart. It's your responsibility to throw the seed. And in that, I've been faithful. I've been faithful in throwing seed. It was up to my neighbor to work out what he was going to do with God. He got all the support possible. But my responsibility wasn't to pick his heart or to make his heart good. My responsibility was to throw seed. And I had done that faithfully. Throw seed. Someone comes to your house to fix your light, you know, fix your lighting, your plugs or something. Throw some seed at the electrician. You know, you're playing golf with somebody, or you take a relative out fishing this Christmas, these holidays, throw some seed. You go shopping, throw some seed. Wherever you go, you're Christians, you're the farmer. God calls you to throw seed. If someone comes up to me, and I hear this from time to time, and they say something like, you know, Russell, this government's useless, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to respond in a negative way to that. God says, pray for the government. So what I would normally do if someone says the government's useless is I'll say something like, you know what? I think Jacinda Ardern's trying hard. And I'm praying for Jacinda. But I don't think any government, any politician, any Donald Trump's ever going to fix the problems of this world. It's going to take someone far bigger, far greater. Now, they're not expecting you to say something like that. They just want to grumble about the government, you know. But all of a sudden, you're throwing a seed, and it's natural. It's not offensive. It's natural. Somebody says to me, look, Russell, what sort of a day have you had? And I so often have said to folk, you know, when they're getting coffee early morning, it's 9:30. I've had 2 answered prayers already. This is a really good day, you know. And they're not expecting you to say that. They're expecting some glib, trite response. It's an opportunity to throw seed. One of the things people have often said to me, and I'm really encouraged by it, is that folk in the community have said to me, Russell, why are you always so happy? Why are you always so cheerful? I am not going to let that go, friends. And I'll say to them, look, life isn't always easy, but I've found that the presence of God brings me joy, a level of joy that I find hard to put into words. It's God's presence that brings joy. All of a sudden, a seed is thrown. People aren't expecting you to throw a seed. People might be shocked or even a little bit uncomfortable for 10, 5 seconds after you throw a seed. But if it's good soil, they'll respond. And the next time you see that contractor or you play golf with that person or you go and buy some produce from that shop again, you'll get cornered. I have shopkeepers take me aside and say, can you pray about this? And what about that, you know? And I haven't preached to them. All I've done is say something about Jesus, God, or the church. I've said something to make them think that God is, there's something bigger than just day-to-day living. Getting up, eat your breakfast, work hard, watch the news, go to bed at night. There's much more involved in life than that. Throwing seeds works. We're going to practice throwing seeds. And we did this exercise a couple of years ago, but it's so important. We're going to practice together now as a church. And so if you're in twos or threes, this will work really well. I'm going to put a statement up on the screen. I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to say, what would you say? Remember, avoid Christian jargon. Words like grace, like blessing, like sin, salvation, redemption, sanctification. Look, that's they're not going to understand that. You need to say something that points to the goodness of God in modern everyday language that people will understand. So statement number one, did you know that eating chocolate will make you happy? Turn to the person beside you. You've got 20 seconds to come up with your best seed sowing response. Go for it. Seconds. Okay, next statement. How many people had someone beside them give a response that was free of Christian jargon? Put your hand up. The person beside you didn't use Christian jargon. Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. About a quarter of us brilliant anyway. Avoid those Christian words. Sorry? could have been, Dave. Thanks for clarifying that. That's good. Statement number two, 20 seconds, what are you doing this weekend? Throw a seed. What's your response? 20 seconds. Seconds, friends. Okay, stop there. Person beside you, they spoke without any Christian jargon. Please put your hand up. Did you hear seeds being sown? Good, good, good. Ish. There we are. Number three. I'm worried, sick about, or I've saw not used yesterday. For instance, a lot of people, when you meet them at the moment, are saying, aren't those fires in Aussie just terrible? Oh, I'm really worried for the Australians. What's going on? It's awful. How can you throw a seed? Go for it. 20 seconds. Seconds. Okay, we'll stop there, friends. Second to last statement. Somebody asks you the question, how's your day going? How might you throw a seed? 20 seconds. How's your day going? Seconds. Okay, we'll stop there, friends. The very last statement, last question. How's the family? Someone says to you, you're out shopping, you bump into someone in the park, and they say to you, how's the family? How might you throw a seed? 20 seconds, go for it. Last one. 10 seconds, friends. Okay, we'll stop there. How many people had a response from the person beside them that avoided Christian jargon? Put your hand up. How do we do? Okay, all right. I won't count hands, but look, it's worth practicing. If you practice throwing seeds, after 3 or 4 weeks, it just becomes natural. And you'll be amazed just what God does and how God uses it. Now, I went to New World the other day to get a coffee to grab some groceries in the Zip Express lane. And the supervisor came up to me, and I don't know if I've ever talked to this person, barring just throwing a seed over the counter. And she came up to me and she said, "Russell, those carol singers were just amazing down in the town centre. Your church is doing a wonderful thing. We really appreciate the carols." I would have thrown a seed somewhere. She knew who I was, that's all. And she responded. She saw someone else from the church, and God connected the dots for her, and something's happened. Throw seeds wherever you go. Family, I pray that God would wash our minds with his word. I pray that the teaching that we've had culturally in Western Christianity that says words aren't important, I pray God would get rid of it. And I pray that you would realize that spoken words, words spoken in faith, whether it's prophetic, whether it's a testimony, whether it's from scripture, they have power. They achieve something. They're like arrows that go out, and when they hit good soil, they explode. And God begins to ignite life and transformation in that person. Your words have power. When they fall on good hearts, the difference they can make to that person's life and those around them is just huge. Not just 1 kg for 8 kg's return, but 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. Actions don't replace the spoken words of faith. Nothing does. Action, change happens after words of faith have been spoken. So speak faith early. Talk about God, Jesus, the church, and answer prayer early on in your conversations. Be bold this week. And sow lots of kingdom seeds wherever you go. Let's look at this video clip.
Shopping, huh?
Myself, but Anthony Carney and Blake Rimmers are at the arena.
Yeah? For what?
They built this special half pipe.
sick.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to get in?
It's free.
No way.
Yeah, way. You want to go?
Definitely.
Cool. What's up, bro? Hey, man. You want to go down to the corner and be Brock with us? His girlfriend's going to hit us right at the park.
Free ride. Can't pass that up.
It's true.
Later.
So anyways.
Why didn't you tell me Barrett I dropped another 30 points yesterday? Don't you know how much I've sunk into this already? I had to sell my Porsche yesterday. I know, I can't believe it either. I'm going to take the bus to the office today. Yeah. What? Okay. Yeah. All right, fine. But you better call me before things go south this time.
Did I just hear you say that you have a Porsche?
Had. And don't remind me. I'm just experiencing a little temporary setback.
Aren't we all? Yesterday, I actually had to go shop at the rack.
Hey, did you guys hear that?
What just happened? Did we, like, miss the bus?
The bus! Don't miss the bus! Don't let yourselves be so crowded with financial things and business things, which are good, but don't let that occupy your life. Don't be so distracted by things or shallow. Keep your hearts teachable. Keep your hearts humble. Don't miss the bus. When God speaks to you this week, when God speaks through you this week, to those people you bump into, may God use you to sow many, many kingdom seeds. And may it be when God speaks to you, through whatever means, through a prophecy, through scripture reading, through a podcast, that those words would find good soil in you, that God would do something deep and beautiful in your life. And as you just respond to God humbly and respond to those words, that God would use your life to impact not just 8, maybe 30, maybe 60, maybe 100 for the kingdom. One of the things that really thrilled me about Jocelyn Badger's funeral on Friday, beautiful funeral. Our team was just amazing, those in our church that worked so hard at the funerals. One of the things that thrilled me at the end of the funeral was that about half a dozen of these booklets went missing, which is good. I asked them to take them. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're here and you think, you know, that's been my life. I've been shallow. I've been focused too much on me. I've been disregarding the word of God. I've heard Jesus talked about often, and I haven't responded. Man, I would love to catch up with you. I'd love to get your details and spend time with you this week and next week and help you along that journey. But at the very least, if you're here this morning and you don't know God personally, grab one of these if you're an adult. Grab one of these if you're a child and take them home. That'll make sure you don't miss the bus. That'll make sure the seeds go in deep and make a difference in your life. Friends, I'm going to pray for you. Then Lana and the team are coming back to sing one more song. We're going to do our family prayer time. And then there'll be one more song before we close. But let's pray. Let's stand together. And let's pray for the impact of the Word of God on our lives at Central and through our lives at Central into our community. Thank you, Father. Father God, first of all, we want to pray that you'd wash our minds clean of some of the nonsense that's been bandied around in the world in recent years. That actions are only necessary, words aren't necessary. Lord, we believe your word that says faith comes from hearing. We believe your word that says that when your word is sent out, it will achieve that to which it was sent. We believe, God, though we don't know the hearts of people, you do. You just call us as farmers to throw the seed everywhere. And we believe, we know some of that seed's going to fall on good soil. Lord, when it does, give us the eyes to see and the wisdom, Lord, to support those people and answer their questions and give them real time. Help us feed the young plants and nurture them well when they start to grow. Father, for each one of us here, and maybe not used to speaking about you publicly, maybe not used to throwing a seed in the community, Lord, this week, release fear, release anxiety from our bodies, from our minds, and replace it with a love for you, an overflowing love for you and with faith. Father, may it be that this week, out of our mouths, would come seeds upon seeds upon seeds that will reap a great harvest for your kingdom. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated, family. Can I ask the stewards to come forward and wait upon us for our tithes and offerings? A couple of just a small notices to celebrate, and then we'll pray for family, people who've had birthdays and different things within the family. As I said, there's been wonderful feedback about the carol singers. Also, speaking to Vicky, when I came to Whanganui, I understood that the